You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
All right, I'm going to wrap up this series today on identity. Now, we're going to keep talking about identity as we go along. It's going to get infused into all the things that we are doing and that we are talking about. And we're going to continue to talk about what it means to live in grace, to live grace-filled lives towards each other. We're going to talk about what it means to live in that kind of community environment that is very, very life-giving. I want to encourage you that you not just stop this or close the door to this idea of identity, but that it becomes a real integral part of how you live and how you relate to others as well. Okay. So with that, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And it's going to come up on the screen here for you if you don't have a Bible, but I like it when you turn in your Bibles and you look at these things together with us. This is kind of the intro scriptures right here. I want to take you through about from about 17 to about 24 here. And then I want to just kind of play this out a little bit as we're closing out this series. And I want to talk a little bit. Pastor Daniel, do you have any idea if I'm doing something wrong here at all? Okay. You don't? No. Can you just turn? Will you turn this one? Thank you so much. Then we'll see if I can do better with this one than I did with the other one. Okay. I want to look at this passage of Scripture and several others with it. And what I want to do is I want to try to really encourage you to walk away from this series with a high level of confidence. Confidence in your identity in Christ. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to get this. And here's something I've noticed throughout this series is that God's been really doing things. He's been really tapping people in unique ways and really, really working in people's hearts. And one of the things that I've noticed in this series on identity is that the level or the intensity of our worship has just like, it's gone up. I mean, can you sense that? There's just like, there's a greater freedom to worship. There's a greater freedom in the worship experience or the worship context. And I fully believe that's for two reasons. One is that God is blessing what we're teaching right now, and He's blessing what we're bringing to us as a body. But I also believe that God is also allowing us to find freedom. He is bringing that freedom to us through this truth. And as we find ourselves more free and we better understand who we are in Christ, it releases that freedom in our worship. It carries over and it is manifested through our worship. And that is really beautiful. So God is doing some wonderful things here in this series that we're going through. And I don't want you to lose that. I don't want that to get left here. So I don't want you to just tidy this up and tie it up and be done today, okay? But let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, Paul says. I love Paul. You know, you're under grace, but I want to really insist a few things here, you know, because he understands the value of them. All right, he understands the value of these things in your life and as you go forward. And that is that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Paul's been saying through these passages that we've been going through that we are different now. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you can't live that way, not in that futility of thinking as the Gentiles think. Okay, verse 18, they are darkened, meaning those that the Gentiles that he's referring to. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Now let's stay right there for just a moment. Let's camp. There's something that's going on that Paul is recognizing that is a correlation between the heart of a man and the mind of a man. The heart and the mind work in conjunction with one another. And he's saying that there is a hardening that is going on in these individuals' hearts, and that hardening is darkening their understanding, and it is causing them to be separate from a life of God. Now, Pastor Dave did a wonderful job of preaching to you about the reality that you are transformed not by just doing, but by the renewing of your mind. It is out of understanding and out of truth that you are renewed and transformed, and you become that new creation that God says that you are. Okay, verse 19 then.
having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to the sensuality, to the flesh, if you will, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now, they're not only just choosing sin, but they're desiring even more sin. The more that they sin, the more there is a desire for this sin. It's kind of like that big red button that Pastor Dave talked about. You know, once there's an awareness, and it kind of escalates. And so these guys are escalating in their sin and their lust for more of it. Okay, verse 20. You, however, you did not come to know Christ that way. That's not the way that you have encountered God and learned about God, all right? Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That's what we have. This truth that comes from Jesus, that is what changes us. That is what transforms us. That's what we've been teaching to you. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. That's what Pastor Dave talked about, that struggle that goes on in us. You're taught to put off that old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And then verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. That's where we've got to go. We've got to get this truth in us because that changes us. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's where we are. That's who we are right there. We are this new creation, and we've been created to be like God. We're created to enjoy true righteousness and true holiness. So this is where we want to wrap this series up, so to speak, and say, okay, this is how we live. We live in holiness. We live in righteousness. We live out of our true identity that we have in God. All right? Now, here's the good news that I want to bring you to you today. And I want to do this because if you're like me, you don't always live that way. That isn't always how you're going. All right? Sometimes you sin. All right? Sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you willfully choose to sin. But sin comes at you. The law of sin and death tries to take you over and hold you down again. But the Bible says that's not who you are. That's not where you are. All right? And so we need to be able to fight against that. And this is what I want you to understand today is that there is no condemnation. All right? Romans 8 verses 1 and 2. There is no condemnation for those who are in what? Ah, there it is right there. All right. Those who are in Christ are not struggling with that condemnation. All right. Because they are in Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. That better law, it has come and it's overtaken and it rules above the old law. All right. So sin and death is no longer the main force that's driving in my life, but it is the law of the Spirit of life. And so I'm alive. I'm living. All right. I'm not dead. I'm not bound. I'm not condemned. I'm not shamed. I'm not in that place that the enemy would like to put me in and lock me away and hold me captive. We're free. All right? And that's the whole message, if you will, that we've been trying to get across to you in this identity. We've been talking to you about what is your identity? You're a child of God. You're a saint. You know, you're a slave to righteousness. We have all these identifiers out there. But the bottom line is that means you are free. That translates into freedom. And that's what we want to leave you with today is you're free. You sang it last Sunday. I am free. All right? That is the state of our existence is that we are free in Christ. And I want you to understand that this freedom that we're talking about, it is at the heart and the life of the message of Jesus Christ. And so when we move away from just identity and we move more into mission and evangelism, we have to understand that is our message. It is not simply the message of Christ, but it is the message that Christ has given to us in that He made us free. Paul says, I preach to you what I know. This is what I know. I know that I was a sinner. All right? But I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer condemned. I am free, all right? And so I want us to be able to live in that place of freedom where we are not shamed and we're not condemned and we're not guilt-ridden and we're not holding and harboring all of that kind of stuff, because all of those are deceptive identifiers. And here's what we do when we move into this land of grace is we begin to understand that we are free. We are under grace. We are a new creation, but we don't get to go back to that former way. All right? And so we begin to live under some dynamic that is different. And that is called conviction. And we begin to learn the difference between Holy Spirit conviction that helps us to move forward and mature and to grow and be transformed continually into the image of Christ. And we understand the difference between that and the guilt and the shame of devil condemnation, where the devil comes in and tries to condemn you and say, no, you don't get to. You don't qualify. You're not okay. You're not worthy. You're a bad boy. No, that's not who we are. And we're not sinners sinning all the time. We're saints who sometimes sin. And grace is sufficient. But we're not living in that. We're understanding that in that place of sainthood, there's a meter that is going all the time, a radar, if you will, and it's out there and it's working all the time. And it's the Spirit of the Lord as we walk in the Spirit. And it convicts us in our lives of the things that we need to address and that we need to deal with. So Paul's question, do we just, because grace is so wonderful, do we just sin all that much more and sin abounds so that grace abounds more? And he goes, heaven forbid. No, that doesn't make sense. We don't do that. We're saints. And we don't live under this guilt and under this shame and under this condemnation. Do you understand that? Because that's so freeing. That was very, very freeing for me. And that's what I'm getting to today, is I'm getting to this idea of really walking out of here free today. All right? I really want you to walk out of here today with a huge dose of freedom. All right? That you just really get it. Okay? So this whole series that we've been talking about, it's been for giving us some skills and some spiritual weapons that are for a lifetime of freedom. And I really mean that. I mean a lifetime of freedom. All right? If you give yourself fully to the biblical truths that you're learning right now, you're going to walk in freedom for your whole lifetime. And that's what I want for you and I, because I see so many of us and we are free for a little bit. We're free for a day, or we're free for a week. You know, I hear guys telling me, they'll say, well, I didn't do this for this long, but then I just went back into it. You know, I was good for about a month, you know, and then I had a lapse, or I fell off the wagon, so to speak, you know. And so there's this like cycle of failures that keep happening, and those failures then bring this guilt and this shame and this condemnation. You know, the other side of that is that there's some kind of law that still continues to go on. You know, and it's religious now. You know, it's we're not going to do this. I won't commit that sin. If I commit that sin, then I have to do something like pay a fine for it or something like that. You know, well, that's law. All right, that isn't grace. You know. And I've heard stories about young guys doing that kind of stuff. They agree together. They're not going to do this, or they're not going to do that. All right. And so because they're not going to do that, they need some kind of like fence there or boundary there. And so they agree with each other. We're going to pay $25. You know. I live in the college dorm. I'm a guy. I don't want to fall into certain kinds of sin. I don't want to masturbate. So if I do, I'm going to give you $25. Well, that's law. That's total. You just put yourself right back under law, and you put religion all over it. You know, that doesn't work. All right, and these are some of the things that we gotta look at, because this is the real world. There are things in our lives that we don't want to do, and we do them. We don't want to do that. It shames us. It condemns us. It messes with us. We don't want to do it, but we find ourselves doing it. And it's not just guys in college dorms. It's all across the board. It's all age groups. It's both genders. It's everywhere. There are hidden things. There are secret things that go on. And we want to free you up from that. We want to get you away from that, okay? So let's look at John chapter 8, verse 32. All right? There are biblical truths that you are learning that can free you, all right? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me tell you something about truth. Truth will do for you what you alone cannot do for yourself. That's the beauty of truth. It has power. It has a power within it. And it's amazing because in written form it's sort of tangible, but you have to internalize it. You have to get it inside of your spirit man or woman. And as you get that truth in there, that truth begins to speak to you your identity. That truth begins to tell you who you are. And it begins to work that identity through you. And so you're no longer living a slave to some type of sin or bondage or habit in your life. Because you are new. And that truth has set you free to live in that newness. Okay? All right? So the truth will do what you cannot do alone or by yourself. All right? Let's go a little bit further down to verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, if you are set free in Christ, then you will be free indeed. And I love that passage. Pastor Dave and I were talking about that earlier. He sort of likes that word indeed tacked on there, and that's what I went to and kind of looked. So, you know, I'm free, all right? I know I'm free, but why indeed? You are free. You're free indeed. And the little commentary thing that I was reading, it used a word that I don't know how to pronounce very well. It's one of those things that Southern boys just hate. You know, it's just that word, that way. I just know I'm going to, mess it up. You know, but I've been practicing it, okay? And here's what it means. Unequivocally. It means it's done. It's taken care of. That's it. That absolutely. There's no other qualifiers. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this thing. If Jesus has set you free, you are free. The line is drawn in the sand. That's it. Devil, go back to hell. Amen. That's where we are today. That's who we are today. And that's what I want to wrap this thing around today, is that idea that when you know the truth, you are able then to live in that freedom of God. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 18. I camp on this idea of freedom for just a moment. You have been set free. All right? From what, though? Sin. That's what you're set free from, is sin. And you have become the slaves to righteousness. All right? It's not just that truth helps you to do what you cannot do on your own, but truth brings you into something, and that is who you are. And that is a slave to righteousness. So we don't have to do these old former things anymore. Not because we're under a law about them, but because we understand what Jesus has done for us. And in Christ, we are made free. And because Christ has made us free, we're really free, unequivocally. We're there. It's done. It's finished. See, that's what Jesus meant on the cross. It's done. I took care of it. You don't have to do this. I did it for you. What you couldn't do, I did. Now, because I go away, I leave truth with you. I leave you a comforter, a teacher, the Holy Spirit, that will now teach you this truth that I am, so that you can live it out in this new identity and you can be free. And so because I set you free, you're free, unequivocally free. This is good. This is where I want to live. I like this place, you know. Oh, I'm going to have trials and I'm going to have troubles and temptations are going to come my way. But I live in this place of freedom, because I have become something now. And that is, as Pastor Dave told you, a slave to righteousness. All right? So I know the truth. The truth will set me free. And I am free indeed because I have been set free from sin and death. And I have now become the slave of righteousness. That is so awesome. Let's go back then to Ephesians chapter 4 and look again at verse 20. And let's just rehearse this again. You did not come to know Christ that way, the way of those in sin and rebellion. Okay, verse 21. You heard of him and you were taught. You got truth, all right? You were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, all right? That is the only truth, by the way, okay? If someone preaches you some other gospel, that is not the gospel. This is the only gospel that there is. I'm not putting you back under a law. I'm saying you don't have the liberty to go out and find some other truth or create some other truth. When you create a different truth, you create a different God. There is only one God, one Lord, one Christ, Savior, Jesus, Spirit, one. All right? And that's who we live under. As we live under Jesus Christ, the truth that is in Jesus alone. Could you give me the next verse, Daniel? Thank you. You were taught, you were instructed with regard to your former ways that you are to put off your old self, which is being corrupted, all right? It's being defiled, if you will, all right, by deceitful desires. And then verse 23, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds. You're not to stay in that old place, you're made new. Putting on this new self, who's putting it on? You are putting it on. You have a part to play in this. You have a responsibility in this to throw off the old self, the old flesh, and to put on this new self, this new creation, if you will, and to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. All right? Now, let me break this down for you just a little bit here. Okay? If you drive around this town, you see different houses, different kinds of houses. And every one of you is guilty, probably, of deciding what kind of person lives in that house by the look of that house. I drive through one neighborhood in this town, and I look at it, and I go, everybody in this neighborhood is Dutch. Now, let me qualify that so no Dutch people dislike me at the moment. Never seen such neat little houses. Such manicured little lawns. You know, everything's in its place. Everything has a place, and it's in its place. All right? And they're just, even when the snow falls, they just remove the snow so neat. You know, it's meticulous. All right? Dutch people live there. All right? There are certain parts of the city you can go to, and you go, ah, these are very professional people who live here. They have very professional-looking homes. You can go to parts of this city and you will say things like, somebody lazy lives in that house. Somebody poor lives in that house. And some of you are guilty of saying that house is probably owned by an immigrant. Because you identified them by a house. And you have certain ideas about how those things are. I'm not riding you today, and I'm not getting onto you about that. I'm saying that's what people do. Houses identify people. I remember a few years ago, I was driving through a city, and we got a hotel room, and then we turned on the news. I like to turn on the local news and see what a city's about. Sometimes you can figure a city out by you look in the phone book, in the yellow pages, and see what kind of industries and businesses are there, and then turn on the local news. You can find out a lot about a community. But on the news that night, the headline on the news was that in a neighborhood, there had been an investigation, and then there had been a seizure, and the police had come in. Some people had been killed. Because they took a crack house. And they showed this on the television. And there were nice houses and nice houses and nice houses. And then there was the crack house. And they interviewed this older gentleman. And he goes, Well, I don't know what the mystery was or the surprise about all of this, because we all knew this was a crack house. And he's standing sort of in front of it, and he goes, look, look at my house. Look at the crack house. He goes, I don't know why the mayor was so surprised about this house. He said, I knew a year ago this was a crack house. He said, I've been watching what's been going in and what's been coming out. He was quite an animated fella, you know, big guy. And he goes, don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. He says, all kinds of people go in that house. Hookers go in that house. Teenagers go in that house. Motorcycle people go in that house. He goes, I've even seen some men in big fancy cars drive up and go in that house. They're in there for a few minutes and then they leave. And he's doing this. He goes, and then he repeats himself, don't take a rocket scientist to know who's going in that house. He was upset because a crack house had come into his neighborhood. A crack house had come on his street. And he didn't want to be defined by a crack house. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God, and you are not your own? I remember thinking about that crack house, and it was interesting because as I was doing this little study here about this, that picture, that image came back to me of that old dilapidated house. I mean, it was in a mess. It looked so different than the other houses on each side of it. They were nice houses, but this crack house had gone in such disrepair. And it was so dirty, and there was so much trash around it, and there was a chain link fence around it, and inside there was lots of trash, and windows were cracked and broken. But somebody was living there, but it was a crack house. That house was not what it was intended to be. That house was not what the original builder had planned for that house to be. That builder built that house, I'm certain, with the intent that that house would house a family, and it would take care of them, and it would suffice for them over the years. And as they grew as a family, they would celebrate many things and build many memories and have many joyful experiences inside of that house. But that house on that day represented death. That house on that day represented destruction. That house on that day was not what it was intended to be. I remember listening to a missionary as he showed big temples in Tibet. And nothing happens in these temples, but they're just there. They're great big temples, but they're set apart. They're ornate. They're beautiful. They have purpose. They represent the housing of a deity. And they're maintained for that. What kind of house are you in? And better yet, what is in your house? Do you not know that your body is a temple? One that is set apart for a purpose. To house deity. Not that you are to be worshipped, but that the God that resides in you can be manifest from you and be worshipped. You are a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. To put it in the vernacular of the South, baby, you ain't no crack house. You ain't never been, and you better not ever be. All right? Because that ain't who you are. That's not how it goes. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. When we get that inside of us, we begin to understand that we are a saint. Saints are set apart. Saints have a purpose. Oh, the enemy will want to come in. He will want to take your sainthood. He will want to take your identity. He will want to take your reputation. He will want to bring death and destruction into your temple. And you know what? You can open the door and yield to that. But we're doing everything we can to teach you the truth that will give you the grace that is sufficient and the strength that is necessary for you to choose right and to live right and to live holy and righteous because you are a new creation in Christ. I want to help you to understand this in a very real and very tangible way now, okay? Chris, will you come up here with me, please? I've asked Chris to share some things in his life with you. And I'm going to tell you right now up front that some of these things are going to be a little bit unsettling, all right? But he's going to talk about some things that are real issues and real struggles in life, all right? And he has become so willing to open himself and be transparent to you today. And so I don't want you to just grace the message that he's going to be sharing with you today, all right? But I want you to let it sink into you and challenge you in your own walk and your own life. Will you just talk about what you've come through and where you are today?
All right. My name's Chris. And I'm 25 right now. And for about half my life, like 12 years, I was just completely tied and bound to a perverted addiction to pornography and just everything that goes along with that, including masturbation. And this is something that, just plagued my life. And I was literally like chained to it. Like this was something I absolutely hated, was absolutely ashamed of, and just killed me inside. Yet I'd go back to it again and again, and I didn't understand why I couldn't break away from this thing. I mean, I grew up in a good home where my mom, from ever since I can remember, was telling me about Jesus, and went to a Bible camp in middle school. I was about 13, came wanted to follow Jesus and went with that. But still, just around the age of 12, like when I first saw this junk, I just couldn't break away from it. And through high school, same story. And then I started going to church more after I grew up in the Catholic Church. So when I came back from this Bible camp, I didn't really have anybody to teach me about this decision I made. And so I kind of just went back to what I was used to and didn't really know what to do with this newfound faith. And I started getting plugged into a youth group my junior year in high school and really started to learn a lot more, but I still couldn't break away from this really ugly thing that I absolutely hated. And it would mess up everything, not just relationships with girls, but even my friends. I found it so hard to look other men in the eye. Like, just especially the guys I wanted to know the most, the godly men, I couldn't talk to them because I knew, I still was tied to this ugly thing and I couldn't face people. And it made me even more shy than I already was and more ashamed. I mean, I'm kind of just a low-key guy in general, but that just really, really just kind of made me curl up in a corner a lot of times. And although it started to get better, like I started to have small victories, like I'd have good weeks, good months, I still couldn't break away from this through college. And up to this past summer, I had been dating a girl from Mississippi for about 6 months, met her because she stayed the summer before at the church I helped with youth group at, and got to know her and just kept talking to her. And we started dating and we're really looking at marriage. And things were going great with the struggle, but all of a sudden, early on in the summer, like around May, like it just kind of creeped up its ugly head again. And I was just like, what the heck? Why is this happening? Like, I don't want to bring this into a marriage. I don't want to bring this into ministry. I don't want this to continue separating me from God and making me feel like I can't talk to him because I'm so ashamed. And I was just so burdened with that. On July 4th weekend, and right after screwing up, I just felt terrible because I couldn't talk to her. And I just, I was just completely compelled to just share the struggle with her, and it hit her like a truck. It just crushed her. She had been struggling with what most women struggle with these days, I think, body image and overcoming anorexia, and it just brought up other wounds from her childhood when her father left her mom, and just all this terrible stuff, and she couldn't go on with me. She told me, "I'm sorry, Chris, but I just don't think I can do this." And it really broke me down. And in that, I went seeking after God and just praying, because I felt so abandoned. And like, I just didn't understand, like we're both sinners. What, I mean, we both sin. Like, I thought you would understand having your own struggle, even if, you know, this does hurt you in ways I'll never understand. But I didn't understand that, and it really broke me up. And I just started seeking after God and really learning so much more about how much He loves me. And randomly, one day in a coffee shop, I go to this coffee shop on my lunch break. I have a half-hour lunch, and I was just reading my Bible, and this guy just randomly walked up to me. His name was Justin. And we started talking, and 45 minutes into my half-hour lunch break, I decided to meet with him that Friday, and we've been meeting pretty regularly ever since. And God really just brought this guy into my life, and one of the biggest things He did was just show me the truth of my identity in Christ, and just that I am a saint, and I'm holy, I'm set apart. There's no condemnation for those in Christ, and more truths, breaking down lies that I had just kind of fell into, that I am what I do, and that I am what people say I do, and I'm defined by my behavior. I started to learn that those were lies, and that no, I'm defined by who God says I am, what He's done for me. And so, upon knowing that, I really decided, you know what, I'm just going to walk in that, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to live it. Like, I'm not going to get caught in the shame and the guilt of and fall into the trap that I think I'm just merely a sinner. No, I'm a saint. I'm a son of God. And the battle completely changed with this struggle. When the temptations would come up, it was no more like, I don't want to do this because I don't want this in my life. It was more like, that's not who I am. I'm a saint. I'm a son of God. And it was just completely the power of grace and the work of the Holy Spirit in me, because the temptation, like, was 10 times stronger. It's nowhere near where it was. And no, I'm still a man, and I still battle with just, I mean, even looking at a pretty girl in the room, but like the masturbation, the porn, just nothing since for 7 months. And that's something, it's just complete freedom and complete work of the Holy Spirit and just power of God. And just, it was all just walking in the belief that I am who God says I am. So often I think we get caught up in just our guilt and our shame, and we don't take God at His word. And yeah, it's amazing. I love it. It's freeing, and it's just, I feel completely different. That stuff feels so far away.
Pastor, will you give me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 up there, 4 and 5? See, if people knew where Chris was, they would have said, your house is a perverted house. Your house is a porn shop. Your house is an internet website. And that's what the devil would like to tell Chris. That's where he lives. That's where he dwells. But he doesn't, because that's not who he is. That's not who he is. He's not defined that way. You and I are not defined by those things. I don't care what house you have visited in your life. You are not defined by that visitation. All right? That's not who you are. That's not where you are. As you come to Him, Jesus,
the living stone rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him. Verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Today, Chris is a priest in the house of God. He is a man who has a message to share that will bring freedom to other young men who have been in the same place, or who are in the same place that he has been in. That is the beauty of this freedom that we are talking about here. I want you to stand with me. Pastor, I want you to give me that last scripture out of the book of Revelation. I think you have it there, the last half of verse 5 of chapter 1. I want to challenge you this morning. Where are you living? What house are you in? Where are you dwelling? What's defining you? What's saying who you are today? And I want to declare to you that regardless of what that is, you are free in Jesus Christ. You have freedom today that is in Christ and Him alone. So whatever has bound you, whatever bondage has taken you down, whatever has had a grip on you, whatever has paralyzed you, whatever has condemned you or shamed you, could you identify with what Chris was talking about? Could you identify with the things that he was saying about the shame and the guilt and all of that and what it does to a person? Well, I'm telling you, you can have the same freedom that Chris preached to you today. You can have the same freedom that he proclaimed into your heart today. That was a message from God. That wasn't just Chris. He didn't do this because he just decided to get free of that and he could do it in his own strength. He couldn't do it in his own strength. What he could not do, truth did for him. Truth did for him. I want to pray for you. And then after I pray for you, I want us to read this together out loud, this particular passage right here, okay? All right? Let me pray for you. Please let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. Please don't leave here today who you were, because that's not who you are. Would you please let the truth of God's word invade you and capture your mind? And would you let that truth transform you and renew you today? God, in the name of Jesus, your Son, I ask for the spirit of adoption to hit us right now. And I pray that as sons and daughters of the living God, that we would give ourselves completely to the truth that you have proclaimed through your word. That we today would live in newness as slaves to righteousness. We would live a new creation life, born of the Spirit. God, by your power and by your authority, would you dismantle those things that the enemy would use against each person here. God, would you work deep into the recesses of our minds and deep into the recesses of our hearts? Deliver. 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 In the name of Jesus, deliver. 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 Chris, come here. There are some of you that right now you are struggling so deeply. And my words of deliver have hit empty hearts, in a sense. Chris has an anointing upon him for freedom. He's experienced this, and he has some authority in this arena of victory over especially sexual sins. And I'm going to ask him that he finish this prayer this morning and just pray over us pray over all of us. It's not just men that struggle with sexual sins, okay? It's not a man thing. It's a human thing. All right? So I'm going to ask Chris to just pray a prayer here and pray for freedom and for deliverance for you. If you are one of those people, I want you to grab it this morning. Just grab a hold of it right now and let God free you up. Just let Him just give you that freedom right now. And when He's done, we're gonna read and declare this scripture together. Chris.
Lord God, I just come to You today and I just thank You for what You've done for us, for who You've made us, for bringing us into Your family, making us sons and daughters. Wow. Wow, Lord God. I just pray that You help us to not know that just with our heads, but to know it in our hearts and to believe it and to walk in it, to know that we are Your sons and daughters, that we are righteous because of what You have done for us, that there's no condemnation for us, and that in that, through that grace, that You deliver us from these chains, from these things that shame us, from these things that break our confidence with You, from these lies, Lord. Free us and deliver us. May we know that we are loved. You are our Father who loves us. We are Your sons and daughters. We love You, Lord, and we thank You. Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to read this particular verse and verse 6, all right? So, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we're going to read them together as the body of Christ here. And here's what I want to ask you, and I want you to respond with this particular scripture, all right? Who has set you free, and where does that freedom come from? It comes from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Those of you who can and feel compelled by the Spirit of the Lord, go and sponsor a child at the World Vision table, okay? The rest of you, God bless you. Let's all have a great day and a victorious week, all right? Bless you.